glory to God. And here in the Clay Temple Church in the city of Beaumont, Texas, it's indeed a privilege to have Betty Baxter give her own story tonight. Betty, God bless you as you come. May He anoint you to bless us tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. We're happy to be here tonight. Feel the presence of Jesus, don't you? I'd like for you to turn with me to the 13th chapter of Luke. This is a scripture I like to read when I tell my healing, because this is a picture of what I was exactly before the Lord came and set me free. The 13th chapter of Luke and the 11th verse reads, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." Kind Heavenly Father, we pause for a moment in Your divine presence tonight. We thank You for this another privilege and opportunity we have of gathering together to worship Thee tonight. I ask You, Lord, again, as I tell this story, that You bless it, as You blessed it many times before. Bless everyone in divine presence. Bless those who have needs tonight. I pray that You'd meet these needs. Lord, I ask that You walk up and down the aisle, speaking and blessing every heart. Those who are listening tonight in television land, those who are sick, reach out with Your nail-scarred hand and touch them and make them every bit whole. Now bless and anoint this story again tonight. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that people might not see Betty Baxter, that they might see only the Jesus that I love and serve. Now bless in this service and make it a blessing. And we'll be careful to praise You, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. As long back as I can remember, I can never remember the time of being healthy, well, and strong, and normal like other boys and girls. But as long back as I can remember, I've been weak, sick, and nervous, and suffered pain in my body. I was taken to doctors, and still, after x-rays or tests, they would send me home saying there was nothing that they could do for me. At the age of 11, I had gotten so bad, and the pain was so severe, that the doctor taking care of me said, "I can't ease the pain she's suffering. So let's send her to a large hospital at Minneapolis, Minnesota." So one stormy, blizzardy night, mother in the ambulance went with me, and they took me to this hospital in Minneapolis. They kept me there almost 3 weeks, and usually they didn't keep me that long in hospital or clinic. They would x-ray and take tests and send me home saying there was nothing that could be done. So each day as they made these tests, and I suffered many things as they were taking tests and x-raying my body, as they were doing this, I felt that by them keeping me there this long, they had found the cure or some kind of medication that was going to make me well. While I was there, I had a specialist, a heart specialist, who said that I had an enlarged heart. I had an orthopedic specialist who had x-rayed my spine and told me that every vertebrae in my spine was out of place from birth, that the bones were twisted and matted together, that they could never hope to operate and untangle that mass of bones. And this is why I had such severe pain throughout my spine. Lying there one day in the hospital bed, I began to shake and tremble all over until it was shaking her so hard that I fell to the floor. A nurse found me there, rushed out and called the doctor, and she came in. The doctor helped me back into the bed, shook his head, and he said, "Now she has St. Vitus Dance." He told me that the nerves were centered on the spine, and with every vertebrae out of place, the bones twisted and matted together, my nervous system was a total wreck. And so they took wide straps and strapped me to the bed. It didn't keep me from shaking, but it kept me from falling out of bed, but I would shake under these straps. Morning and night, the nurse would remove them, and she'd powder the places that were raw and red and put the straps back on again. I suppose if it would have been in these days to have so many tranquilizers and nerve calmers, they would have had something that would have helped me. But that time, they didn't have anything, so I went on shaking. One day, the doctor came in and told me he had good news for me. He was sending me home. But as he looked at me, he said, "There's no use for your daddy to spend any more money on doctors. Medical science has gone as far as they're able to go. We have the finest specialists that could be had for you here, and there's nothing more that can be done for you." So they told my daddy, as he came to get me, the same word, and they took me home. They carried me to my room and put me in my bed and went out and closed the door. I sobbed and cried as though my heart would break. I was 11 years of age, and they had taken from me all the hope that I'd ever had. I had no faith. I had no hope. I was defeated, and as I lay there on the bed, I cried out to Jesus and said, if I'm going to die anyway, I'm saved and I'm ready to go. Don't leave me here to suffer. But please, Jesus, take me to that land that Mama told me about. I want to die now. I don't want to go on suffering this pain. Mother came into the room and said, my, my, why all the tears? Aren't you happy to be back home with Mama again? I said, yes, Mama. But the doctor said there's nothing they can do for me. She said, yes, I know that is what doctors say. But she says, the Bible says that Jesus has the power to heal you and to make you every bit whole. She said, I found a scripture in there that says all things are possible if you can only believe. She said, there's a scripture that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And she says, just as he healed when he walked the shores of Galilee, he's still in the same healing business tonight. I grew worse, as the doctor said I would. And I got so bad and the pain so severe that I was left alone in my room. Mother would bathe me in the mornings, and then she'd go out in the other part of the house to take care of my brothers and sisters and the family. And so I was cut away and left alone. And looking back now, those were the loneliest times of all my life. Shut away from everyone, the loneliness was so great as I lay there alone. But I remember during that time that lying there, Jesus would come to my bedside. He would enter that room, and I know this one thing tonight. Doctors may isolate you from your friends and family. They may pack a sign in your door, no company allowed. But there's one they can never take away from you, and that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's promised he'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. He'd be with us always, even unto the end. And as I pray, I hear a soft sound at the side of my bed. And I wonder if Mother had come back in the room. And I didn't hear her open or close the door. And then I hear a soft voice calling me softly. By my name, he called me 3 times, Betty. The moment he spoke my name, I knew it was not the voice of Dr. Bailey. I knew it was not the voice of my daddy. But I knew immediately it was the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ calling me by my name. You say, Betty, you mean you've actually audibly heard the voice of Jesus? I've heard his voice just as clear and plain and audible as you're hearing mine tonight. You say, well, what did he say to you? There were many things he said, and through the years, many things have been forgotten. But one thing he always told me was I felt so insecure. I felt that I really wondered at times if anybody loved me. I was different from other boys and girls. I was different from my brothers and sisters. I knew that Mama loved me, or thought she did, and still I wondered if she really loved me, or did she take care of me because I was her own. And I felt so insecure and often wanted to be assured that someone cared. And so he would whisper every time he came to my room, he would say that he loved me. And when he said he loved me, my heart would beat faster. A thrill would pass through my being. And I'd think I could go on lying here alone if I have Jesus. I can be crippled and deformed if I have him. I felt then still like I feel tonight. If you've got Christ, you've got it all. If you have Jesus in this life, you have everything. And so the time passed by as I lay alone. One day, I became unconscious, and they said that I was dying. They called for my sister on vacation in Indiana and told her to come home immediately. I was not expected to live. My daddy tells me that for 4 days and 4 nights, I lay unconscious, lying between death and life, lingering in a dying condition. That my mother fasted and prayed that I would not die, but that God would still heal my body and make me whole. And I want you to think for a moment of the faith that my mother had, that when everybody else said she's dying, and they sit there looking on, waiting for me to die, Mother didn't ever give up. She would not be denied, but she stayed before the throne of God until God heard and answered her prayer and made me whole. This morning I regained consciousness and became conscious. The moment I became conscious, all the pain settled upon my body. My chest had sunk in, my spine had curved, until at the age of 15, when Daddy stood me up, I stood as high as my 4-year-old baby brother. I faced him face to face. My arms were paralyzed from my shoulders to my wrists. And that morning when I became conscious, Mother leaned over me and she knew by my eyes that I was conscious. She shook me and said, it's Mama, you know me, don't you, Betty? And I tried to speak, but I was so weak, no words would come. Again, she shook me and said, "It's Mother. You know me, don't you?" And then I couldn't speak. I was so weak, I smiled to let Mama know that I was conscious and knew her. When I smiled, my mother raised both hands and began to praise God because she felt God had answered her prayer and given me back to her again. As I saw Mother standing there with upraised arms, praising God, above everything in the whole world, I loved my mother best of all. I loved Daddy, and he was good to me. But my daddy could not believe that Jesus had the power yet to heal my body and to make me whole. But my mother believed that he could. And you know, you can have close fellowship with somebody that believes the same way you do. So I loved my mother. She was everything to me. She'd been with me nights and days since I was a baby. She was my whole life, and I saw her standing there praising God. And I thought, if I should die, Mama would miss me, but just for a little while at first. And then she'd soon get used to me being gone. And if I know that I were to go, I'd be better off. For the first time, I'd be free from the pain in my body. I thought of the times that Mother had told me about heaven. And heaven was much realer to me than this earth ever was. And I'd say, "Tell me about it again." And so she told me of that city where there are gates of pearl that swing open for those that go to heaven. She told me there are streets of solid gold. She told me of all the mansions that would be over there. And she told me one thing that was so great, there are no cripples in that land. Everybody will walk those streets of gold. There are no twisted bodies. Everybody will be straight over there. One other thing she said, there'll be no more pain. There's no suffering in heaven. There's no sickness, no sorrow, no weeping, because it says that God will meet us with his big handkerchief and he'll wipe away all the tears from our eyes. And we'll never cry any more tears. We'll never die over there. Never suffer pain. Do you blame me that I long to go to that place where for the first time it'd be free from the pain in my body? So closing my eyes tightly, I actually prayed to God. I said, "Jesus, since you saved me, I prayed with Mama that you'd heal my body." And Mama says that you're going to. She believes and is sure you're going to. But I said, "You haven't yet, and I'm not going to ask you why. But Jesus, that's all right if you don't want to heal me. But if you don't want to heal me now, would you please come and take me to that land Mama told me about? Please come and take me to that place called heaven." And as I prayed to God, thick black darkness settled about my bedside. It was so black, I can't describe to you tonight how black it was. And they'd never left me alone in a room before without a light on or without someone with me. So I became very frightened. And I remember in a whisper I cried out in my weakness, "Daddy, where is my daddy? I want my daddy. Where is he?" And for the first time in my life, I called for my daddy and he didn't answer me. At other times, if I called for daddy, he was at my bedside immediately. But this one time, he didn't answer me. If Jesus tarries, there may come a time in your life if you'll cry out for your daddy, but he won't answer you. You'll call for your mama, but she can't come to you. You'll cry out for husband and wife, but they can do nothing for you. In that hour of death, there's only one that's able to go beyond the veil of death with you, and that one is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the only one. I looked ahead of me in the darkness and saw before me a long, dark, narrow-like valley. I barely went inside. It was worse inside the valley than out. It was dark and damp and so cold. I shivered and shook and my feet shattered in the coldness. And I said to myself, "Where am I? What is this awful place?" And as I repeated this to myself, somewhere far, far in the distance, I recognized and heard my mother's voice saying softly, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." I said, "That's it. I pray to die and to die and get to heaven. I've got to go through this valley. But if this is the way that gets me to Jesus, I'm willing to go." But I just got inside when the place lit up with the light, light of the day. Because where Jesus is, there can be no darkness. He is the light of the world. I felt somebody's big, strong hand take mine. I didn't need to turn and look. I knew it wasn't the strong hand of Dr. Bailey. I knew it wasn't the big hand of my daddy. I knew without looking it was the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. He said he'd never leave me. He'd never forsake me. He'd go with me always, even unto the end. I held tightly to his hand. We went on through the valley. He didn't speak a word, but every once in a while, he pressed my hand. And the press of his hand was telling me, "Don't be afraid, I won't leave you." So we went on, and at last set him out, and I saw the most beautiful place I've ever seen. I've traveled many places overseas and seen many beautiful things, but nothing to compare with this land.
And separating me from this beautiful place is a wide, wide river. The waves are rolling and tossing angrily against the shore. I looked on the other side and saw the land of paradise, where the souls who die in Jesus go to rest and await the resurrection morning. I saw the river of life winding its way through that land, because that's a land where we'll never grow old. I saw flowers blooming, flowers of every color, every hue, flowers that will never fade or die. And as I looked, standing just across the river from me, waiting to welcome me across, were a group of those that had been redeemed by the same Christ that had saved and redeemed my soul. I saw them standing there, smiling at me as I stood across the river. With arms of praise, they were singing, "Holy, holy, holy." I looked at one, and not a single one was bent and bowed and twisted like my body was. I looked at the next one, and not a single one had arms useless, dead, and paralyzed at their side like mine. I looked at still another one, and not a single one was weeping and crying because of burdens too heavy for them to bear. I said, in just a few moments, I'm going to join that heavenly band. The moment I step on the other side, I'll straighten up and have a new body, and I'm going to run all over God's heaven. I was anxious to get on the other side. As much as step my foot into the edge of that dark, rolling river, when Jesus, standing beside me, said, "No, baby, you won't cross. Go back and suffer a little while longer. You're going to have healing in the fall." This is the first time, direct from the lips of Jesus, that he ever told me that he healed my body. And so that happened in the early part of March. From March until August, those months are blank and lost to me. That part of my story you have to get from my mother, because I can't remember the things that followed through those months. I do remember once this in heaven, going with Jesus through the gates of pearl and meeting someone on the streets of gold. I saw the beautiful glittering mansions, and as I met someone on the streets of gold, that Jesus turned to me and said, "This is your grandmother. She's been here. This is your grandmother." He walked up to me and spoke and said, "Tell my son I'm waiting for him to come home." That was, she was speaking of my daddy. So I know this one thing: flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, but it doesn't say flesh and bone can. And I know one thing: we won't be a bunch of ghosts sitting around in heaven. We'll be people. We'll be substance. And we'll move around and we'll know each other. And I believe when I reach heaven, I'll see the souls I've won to Jesus. I'll meet you over there, and I'll know you by the smile on your face, because I saw my grandmother and recognized her by her pictures. The months went by as I lay in this dying, unconscious condition, and this part from March to August are blank and lost to me. One day I regained consciousness, and my mind was as keen as it is right now, and the pain I felt throughout my spine like sharp knives thrusting through my spine, my chest aching and hurting because of my heart, and such pain in my body, my blood pounding my temples like someone hammering with a hammer. And as I looked, Mother was leaning over the bed. I asked her, "What day is today?" It was very hot. There was a great big old-fashioned fan going around, kicking out hot air, and it was so hot that day. And I asked my mother, "What day is it?" And she said, "The 14th day of August." I said, "I want to talk to my daddy, too." She said, "All right." He left the room and came and got my daddy. He came in the room and leaned down and picked me up in his arms and stood holding me on the side of the bed. He began to cry, and tears were rolling down his face. And then looking at me, he said, "Honey, there's something Daddy's been wanting to tell you." Said, "I want to tell you that ever since you were a tiny baby, I've done all in my power to make you well." He looked at me and said, "You don't even know what money is, but I've spent all I've got and gone deep in debt to make you well." And then shaking his head, he said, "But there's nothing more that Daddy can do for you." And smiling at through his tears, he said, "But Jesus loves you. And it's not going to be very long until he's going to send the angel for you. They'll pick your body up and carry it straight to Jesus. And when you get to Jesus, you'll have a well body. You won't be sick anymore." I looked at Daddy and wondered how he could be so sure I was going to die, but he could not believe that God had the power to heal me and to make me whole. I asked him to place me in the big chair. The only way I could sit in a chair was they took a big overstuffed chair and propped it high with pillows. And then with my head twisted on my neck in this condition, lying on my knees was the only way I could sit in a chair. If you were one of those to pass through my room, as many did before I was healed, you could have seen every knot up and down my spine as I sat in the chair. He said, "Are you sure you feel strong enough?" And I said, "I want to sit there." He placed me in the chair, and I said, "Daddy, When you go out, close the door and tell Mama not to come in for a while. I want to be alone. They knew that I hated to be alone. The only time I asked to be alone is when I had an appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can get an appointment with Jesus at any hour of the day or night. He's never too busy to take time to talk to you. The Bible says He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He's awake 24 hours a day. He never takes a vacation. He never goes on a holiday. You can get in contact with Jesus day or night when you want to reach Him. And so as Daddy closed the door, I started sobbing. And the pain was so great in my body that the tears rolled down my face, and then I spoke and said, Jesus, do you remember a long time ago when I almost got to heaven and you wouldn't let me cross the river? You said to go back and suffer a little while longer. You'd have healing in the fall. And I said, Jesus, it's still awful hot here. So I don't reckon you really called this fall yet, do you, Lord? But I wonder for this 1 year if you'd call it fall and come and heal me. Listen, He'll change the times and the seasons for His children if He so desires. When Joshua was fighting the battle with the Amorites and he was winning, he knew that soon the sun would go down and it would be dark. And so Joshua, full of faith in God, stood there and said, Sun, stay where you are, and moon, stand still at it. Exactly. It happened exactly like He asked it to. God can change the time and the seasons for His children if He does so desire. So I said, I reckon it's not, you wouldn't call it fall. But for this 1 year, would you call it fall and come and heal me? And then when I pray and want something from God, I pray and ask Him for it, and I've always done this. Then I still do it now. When I pray and want something from God, I pray and ask Him, and then I grow very quiet and I wait and listen for Him to answer me back. The only time you'll ever receive an answer to God is when you're quiet. And when you're still, then you will hear His answer. There are many ways that He speaks to us. The most common way that He speaks to us is through His Word. How often we've wanted something and opened the Bible, and there it is. That's why it's important to read this book every day. We go to church, and we hear we have a question, and the minister preaches the very thing that we've been wondering about. So we get an answer that way. And then He answers by strong impressions that we know, that we know, that we know. There are different ways. Then, of course, He has the power to speak in an audible voice. But I waited and listened for His answer. Nothing came. Not any scripture, not any strong impressions, not any voice, nothing. We've all prayed and got nothing for an answer at some time or other in our Christian life, haven't we? Did you give up and go away and say He's not going to answer? Don't give up. He's still alive. He's up there. He hears you when you pray. If you don't answer the first time, pray again. And keep on praying until the answer comes. So I prayed again. This time, I prayed a prayer that I wouldn't advise you to pray. But I was a little child. I didn't know any different. And I was desperate. For the first time, really, actually, sitting in that chair, I knew personally myself that I was dying. I was 50 years of age, had been 15 in June, and I knew as I sat in the chair that I was dying. I knew I only had a short time left. I was going to die. Unless Jesus healed me and did it quickly, I wouldn't be here. So I was desperate, and sometimes we get to that place before we get something from God, don't we? And I was desperate, and so doing the only thing I knew to do, I said, Jesus, I want to be healed so bad, listen to me. I'll make a bargain with you. If you'll heal my heart and make it normal and strong, heal the kidney stones and the one kidney that's not functioning. Heal the organs in my stomach so I can eat and digest solid food and gain strength. I'll use all that strength for your service. Heal my heart and make it normal and well, and I'll use it for you. I said, Jesus, I'll go further than that. I'll go all the way. If you heal me on the inside, if you heal me on the outside and make me completely whole, from this day on my life will no longer belong to Betty Baxter. But I'll be yours, and I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. That's the promise that I made for the healing that I have tonight. And by His grace, throughout the years, I've done that. I've gone where He's wanted me to go. I've done what He's wanted me to do and said what He wanted me to say. I've kept telling the story. I've kept preaching the gospel. Even when I've been weary and I've been tired, and there's times I haven't wanted to leave my family and go, I've done it because I made that promise to God. And as I made that promise, I waited trembling in my chair. The 24th Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. He gave me the hour, the day, and the time. And that is a strange, because God knows everything. He knows all about tomorrow. He knows your back name, first name, the very hairs of your head, he said, are all numbered. And so I feared I was the first thought I had. Won't Mama be tickled when I tell her? Just wait till Mama comes in. And I tell her I know the day and the hour that Jesus is going to heal me. Won't she be thrilled? And then Jesus spoke and said, no, don't tell this till my time comes. And there are some times that he speaks to us and doesn't want us to tell until his time comes. So I wondered how I'd ever keep from telling my Mama, because I'd never had a secret from her. I told her everything that I ever knew. And you know anyway, it's hard for a woman to keep back something they know, especially when it's something really good. And so I thought I'll suck my lips tight and not open them for fear I let it slip and tell my Mama. After a while, I heard the door open. She came in, and the only way she could see me was she sat down on the floor and looked up in my face as I sit there bent over in the chair. Looking at me, she was telling me about my brothers and sisters. And then all at once she looked at me, and I had kept my lips tight together. I hadn't even opened them for fear I'd let it slip. So she looked at me and said, honey, do you know when the Lord's going to heal you? Here in all the years before when I didn't know, she hadn't asked me. And now when I knew it wasn't supposed to tell, she asked me about it. I couldn't tell her. I couldn't say no, that'd be a lie. So I just looked at her and said, when? She said, August the 24th, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I said, Mama, how did you know that I let it slip and pay? She said, oh, no. The same God that talks to you, he talks to me too. So I was doubly sure that Jesus would heal my body. The devil and all the imps of hell couldn't have made me doubt my healing, because God had not only told me, but he told my mother also. He knew the devil would fight to keep him from getting healed, and if he'd only told me, I might have doubted. But he not only told me, but he told my mother also. I said, Mama, I'm getting worse. She said, yes. She said, each day you're growing worse. The knots are larger and their heart is rock. I said, then, Mama, with me getting worse, do you still believe that August the 24th he'll heal me? She said, of course I believe it. He said so, and he's never broken a promise to me. And I, so for years, I had wanted to wear a dress. That was my secret dream. I'd lay there on the bed and think what it would be like to be straight and to be wearing a dress and look just like other girls, because it always just had this hassle placed around me. And so I looked at Mama, and I said, Mama, if you really believe it, don't wait, not even till tomorrow. Don't wait, but go to town right now, and get me a new dress and new shoes and have them all ready when Sunday comes. And you know something? I think back now of the tremendous faith my mother had when she started getting dressed and said, I'll do it. I'll go get the dress. I'll go get the shoes. Listen, the tremendous faith she had as I sit there crippled and deformed for her to buy a dress and shoes and expect God to heal my body and to make me whole. You have that kind of faith tonight, and you won't be disappointed. You'll get the answer you've been waiting for. She went to town and got the dress. A light blue dress with lace on the collar and lace on the sleeve. That's the prettiest dress I ever seen, because it was mine. Lying there, bent over in bed, she'd hang it at an angle so I could look at it all the time. I'd lay there and look at that dress. The hours would go by faster now, because I'd think of how pretty I'd be when Sunday comes. And I got straight and put on that new dress and went to church and was just like other girls. She bought black patent leather shoes with bows on the toes like grown-ups wear. I was so proud of the dress and shoes. Well, my daddy, if he's here tonight, he'd tell you he stayed scared of that room. He didn't have much to say about because my daddy could not believe. And, of course, he thought something was wrong with our heads. The pastor came. Mother invited him to one more time. And my mother had changed. She hadn't been Nazarene for several years. Because one day while she was praying for me, the power fell on her and she began to speak in other tongues. And the Nazarene church, she just couldn't go back there. Nowadays, you can have the charismatic and still attend the churches. But not in those days. You weren't welcome anymore. And so they changed churches. And they were going to a gospel tabernacle. Brother Collins was a pastor. And he was good. Every day, every time I'd say, Mama, I think he's going to heal me now. Have the pastor come anoint me with oil. So Brother Collins would come and anoint me with oil. Many, many times this happened and I wasn't healed. And so Mother told him, Brother Collins, one more time, come just one more time. come at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because then Betty's going to be healed. He said, oh, no, he said, I can't do that. He said, I've had a task to cry out to the Stone Church in Chicago. And he said, of course, that's a great advancement from this little church that I'm pastor. And he said, I can't be there. I've got to go out of town. Mother said, you'll miss it. You'll miss Tina. Straighten up. We need you one more time. And he said, well, I can't possibly be here. So he went outside, and Betty said to him, he said, Brother Collins, what do you think about all of it? Do you really think she'll be healed? And Pastor Collins just shook his head and said, about this one thing I know, if something doesn't happen, he won't be with us long. So he left and went away. He's told me through the years, and he's real old, in his 80s or something like that, and still has a bookstore in Claremont, Minnesota, my hometown. And he still says to me after all these years, if I could only known you'd straighten up and get healed, nothing could have got me out of town. Well, you better not miss a church service, because the very time you miss, something's going to happen, and you're going to miss it out on seeing it. Mother told my baby brother, he was 4 years old. I didn't have much in common with my brothers and sisters. My memories of them are not very well tonight. Mostly I remember my mother and dad, and then my baby brother Ross. He was, when Dad stood me up, I stood exactly as high as he was. I faced him face to face, and he called me his little sister. He came in my room many times and sat on the bed. And with my arms paralyzed, I thought if I could get feeling in my arms, that would be the beginning of getting well. And I would so many times have Ross pinch my arm. I'd take pink harder, and he'd pinch up and down my arms, trying to bring feeling in them. And so he was very close to me. And one day, Mother, on Saturday it was, sitting up on the edge of my bed and said, Ross, I want to tell you something. Said, Betty's not supposed to be as small as you are. She's supposed to be your big sister, not your little sister. And she says, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Jesus is coming after you come home from Sunday school and church, and you eat your dinner. Jesus is coming to our house. He's going to heal Betty and make her taller than you, and she can go to church with you tomorrow night. But children believe exactly what you tell them. They don't doubt, they don't question, they believe you. So my little 4-year-old baby brother, Daddy took my family to Sunday school and church on Sunday morning. The beginner teacher told me later that he raised his little hand in the beginner class and said, teacher, can I say something? He said, sure, Ross. He got up in front of the class and reached in his pocket. He wiped away the tears from his eyes, and he said, you all know my kids at home, don't you? And they nodded their little heads. He said, well, I just want to tell you that after church is over and I go home and eat my dinner, Jesus is coming to our house. He's going to heal my fist and make her bigger than me, and she's coming to church with me tonight. He didn't doubt. He didn't question. He believed with all of his heart. That day I suffered more than I'd ever suffered in all of my life. I thought if someone picked me up, I'd fall in 1,000 pieces in their hands. My body had more pain than ever before. Then finally I recognized it was the devil. And I said, devil, just go ahead and hurt all you want to. Because after 3 o'clock, you'll never hurt me anymore. I'm going to be healed at 3 o'clock. I lay there alone, suffering, praying for 3 o'clock to come quickly before I died. Finally, Mother came in the room. She said, I've got the chair fixed in the living room for you. The pillows are in it. And she said, the people that wanted to come have come now. And she said, it's almost time. Did Mother take him, put you in the big chair? I didn't want her to touch me. I didn't want to move till it was really time. So I said, what time is it? And speaking so I could understand, she said, 3:15. 15 minutes! When I've waited over 15 years for the Lord to come and heal me and set me free. I said, all right, Mama. So she put me in the big chair. And with my head on my knees, I could see the feet of those that had come that afternoon. I saw my brothers and sisters as they were around the chair. I saw an unsaved uncle and aunt as they were around in the living room. I saw the feet of those that were there. And then Mother leaned over and she said, it's 10 minutes now. What do you want us to do? I said, Mama, start praying. I want to be praying, honey son. So the last thing I heard was Mama pray. And she said, the hour has come, and you've never broken a promise. And so Jesus, come now and heal her and bring her out of his chair and make her every bit whole. And then I didn't hear Mama pray anymore. I heard a great noise as if a storm was coming up. The wind was roaring and bucking and raging in. The wind came sweeping through the living room. Everyone in the house felt the wind as it went through the living room. The drapes swung in the breeze. A door slammed somewhere, and yet it was a calm day outside. Oh, I knew that this wind was ushering in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew that he was coming. coming. So I cried out, he's coming. Oh, don't you hear him? He's coming at last. And Mama said, when they heard me cry out that, they quit playing and begin to walk. And as they walked, and I waited, the noise subsided. All was calm and quiet. I trembled as I sit in the chair. I knew he was coming. My eyes were glued to the opposite side of the little wall. I watched and I waited. It seemed I dare not breathe because Jesus was coming at last. All at once across the living room from me, I saw taking form a gray, white, peachy cloud. As I watched that pure white cloud, I watched. And I watched, and then stepping forth out of that cloud, I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. I wasn't asleep and dreaming. I didn't have a vision. I was wide awake as I am right now. I saw Jesus the day he came to the living room to heal my body. He stepped forth from the cloud, dressed in flowing garments of white that glistened in stone. The radiance of his face was so radiant that my human eyes, I had to close them and open and close them until my eyes got accustomed to the brightness of his face and his garment. He came walking toward me with his arms outstretched, and I could see the print of the nails in his hand, and I knew he was my Jesus. As he walked slowly toward the chair, such unworthiness gripped me, and I thought, what have I dared to do? Here I am, a little pawn girl, and I dared to ask Jesus, the Son of God, to come and heal me. I'm not worthy that Jesus touch me, but I'll be like the little woman Mama read me about. With the issue of blood, if I can touch his clothes, I know that I can be healed. So my fingers reached out, and I tried to touch his garment, and in the stillness, Mother cried out, Jesus, come closer. She can't reach that far. Jesus, her arms were paralyzed. She can't reach that far. Come closer, Jesus. Just a little closer. But he stood just outside of my reach. And pretty soon the little bit of strength in my fingers were gone. And my hands fell at my side and I couldn't move my fingers. When this happened, he took a final step and stood right beside the chair. He showed me that my last feeble effort to help myself had failed. It must be him and him alone that would heal my body. Jesus Christ is the healer tonight. Betty Baxter cannot heal you, even I have a headache. Jesus is the one that's going to heal you tonight and make you every bit whole. As he stood beside the chair, I saw two rows of trees standing tall and straight. As I walked, one of the trees in the center began to bend until the tip of it touched the ground. I wondered why one little tree was all bent over and the other stood straight and tall. And then I saw Jesus walk through that row of trees. When he got the little bent tree, reached out his hand and touched it. With a loud crackling pop, it straightened up and stood straight like the others. And I said, that's me, all right. He's going to come by today. He'll touch my crooked spine. The bones will pop and crack as they go in place, and I'll be straight like other girls. I knew this was me. Then he stood beside the chair and leaning down just like Mama and all the rest who came to see me did. Jesus, the Son of God, leaned down so he could look up in my face. Smiling, he spoke these words, Betty. You've been patient, kind, and loving, and that repaid me for all the 15 years I've suffered. He went on speaking and said, henceforth, I'm going to promise you health, joy, and happiness. And those are the greatest things in the world. And those are three things that money cannot buy. Material things cannot buy. Health, joy, and happiness. As he spoke, he reached out his hand. My body became tense, waiting for the hand of Jesus. And all at once, I felt hot fire go through me inside. Two hot hands as hot as fire. I felt in the lower part of my stomach moving until I felt organs move, and I knew that they were in their rightful place. I knew the kidney stones were gone. I knew my kidneys were perfect and my stomach and every organ in it. Two hot hands as hot as fire took my large heart and squeezed it, and when he let it go, I could take a deep breath without gasping, without pain, and I knew that my heart cover was gone. He's a heart specialist. He's a cancer specialist. He's an arthritis specialist. There's nothing impossible. It's the God I serve tonight. I knew that on the inside I was completely whole, but on the outside I was a twisted, deformed, ugly cripple. I looked at Jesus to see if he'd leave me half healed. But when he does something, he does it good. He smiled at me. He reached out his hand again. My body tensed again, and all at once, on one of the large knots in the very center of my spine, I felt a hand placed there that I'd never felt before. That hand was placed there in a tingling sensation. You felt it, haven't you? It started my feet and rushed through my body. And the bones cracked and popped as the vertebrae went into place. In the presence of Mother and those who were there, my family and people that were there, they saw the knot fade and disappear and leave my side. My head snapped back into its right position. My paralyzed arms were raised high in 10 seconds. I jumped out of the chair and stood as straight as I'm standing tonight. I've been healed by the mighty power of Jesus Christ. He's made me whole. You say, Betty, you mean instantly you were healed? I mean that. And when he heals someone like that instantly, it's a miracle. So he had performed a miracle in the sight of those who knew me before and saw me and been in their presence. I jumped out of the chair, healed by God's power. So you ask me tonight the question everybody asked me. How did it feel? How did it feel to be completely healed after being so sick? I could take another hour and try to tell you. The end of the hour, second hour, you'd still never know because you've never been a hopeless cripple. I stood there and the first feeling I had was I felt numb all over. So I felt at my body and wondered why I felt numb all over. And then it came to me, this numb feeling must be what it feels like to have no pain in your body, and I've been enjoying that numb feeling ever since. I'm so thankful that when he healed, he took the pain from my body. I looked and mother was spinning like a top, praising God in the floor. My baby brother jumped up and down, clapping his hands, saying, look at her, she's bigger than me, she's bigger than me. I turned, and my daddy was standing inside the living room door. He pulled his hands, was sobbing and crying. And I felt sorry for my daddy, because I feel sorry for everybody who has no faith in God. I walked to my daddy, pulled his hands down, and made him look at me. I said, Daddy, do you believe now God can heal? He said, I believe anything after I've seen this. And it made a real believer out of my dad. My dad knows tonight that all things are possible if you have faith and can believe him for it. But the greatest part of the story is this. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for me, he'll do for you. He's not partial to anyone. He loves us all alike. And how he healed me, he'll do it for you. When you ask the secret of it, it's simply this. Faith in God. Faith in God will get it done. Faith in God to press in until you won't say, I won't be denied. I've got to have it. I'm going to have it. And with faith in God and believing him for it, it can be yours tonight. You come in this healing line and I reach out. Jesus said, when you touch them, it'll be my hand touching the people. At that moment, you can turn your faith loose and be healed from that affliction, cancer, whatever it is. It makes no difference.